What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, listen up. It is time to fight. It is time to win back the House so we can push forward policy that actually helps the American people for once. I say this because Republicans are quietly developing and unveiling a plan to rig the midterms through semi-legal means. That's the problem. They are using channels available to them to create more House seats in red states, and Democrats are now finding ways to punch back. So it's time to fight. It's time to bring attention to this, to constantly be pushing back against the BS and the disinformation. And I know that after the 2024 election, after we unfortunately lost, everyone felt a little bit tired. Things were grim for a few months, and they still are rather grim, but that doesn't mean we can't fight. That doesn't mean we can't win back the midterms and punch back in the same way that Republicans are. For example, a few months ago in Wisconsin, we destroyed Republicans in a Supreme Court race. It was a Wisconsin Supreme Court race that Elon Musk was funding, and Democrats won by 9 points. This was at a time when people thought it was going to be rigged, but it wasn't. We won. So there's a reality where as the midterms get closer, we're doing on-the-ground canvassing events. We're out there in swing districts or in purple districts, mobilizing the community that we've created so that we're on the ground, door-knocking, and spreading pro-democracy talking points. In fact, this Sunday, I'll be doing a panel in Phoenix, Arizona with Representative Jasmine Crockett, everybody's favorite. I'll be on stage with Representative Crockett, Representative Ansari, and Senator Chris Murphy. So make sure you are, you could check it out in the description below if you live in Arizona. If not, we'll be live streaming it on the Adam Mockler channel and Midas Touch channel. If you support the movement overall, then make sure you're subscribed to the Adam Mockler feed and you drop a like on this video to help boost the message. So I want to start with this tweet from J.D. Vance. It's some slippery political sleight of hand where he says, "The gerrymander in California is outrageous. Of their 52 congressional districts, 9 of them are Republican. That means 17% of their delegation is Republican when Republicans regularly win 40% of the vote in that state. This is political sleight of hand. He is trying to pivot to Democrats to create a pretext to then gerrymander Texas and other red states and create new seats in the midterms." Here's the thing. You're not supposed to do this in a mid-cycle. Usually the census happens at the beginning of the decade or the end of the decade, whichever way you want to slice it. Every 10 years the census happens. They are forcing this to happen in the mid-cycle because they want to create more seats and essentially rig the election in their favor. Then Gavin Newsom comes out swinging and says, "Try again, dum-dum," and shows the most gerrymandered states of 2025. It's mainly red states. Texas, Louisiana. You even see a little bit of Wisconsin up there. You see Ohio and Kentucky and Pennsylvania. You see a bunch of states that went red in the last election cycle. Among the most gerrymandered, it's these states. And he absolutely ratioed him. Then he said, "It's loyalty over country every damn day for the GOP. That's what Governor Newsom said. And in response, this was in response to something saying, "Texas Republicans release a redistricting plan that could achieve Trump's aims." So I guess something that I want to really, really point to this video is the importance of strong governors, strong backstops for each state, people that can represent the will of the state. And Governor Newsom is a great example. To talk more about this, I'm going to bring in a friend of the show that works for the Democratic Governors Association. I urge you to watch till the end of this interview and share this video around to get the message heard. Thank you all, and check this out. I am joined today by the wonderful Ophira Yeheskel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ophira is currently the Director of External Affairs at the Democratic Governors Association. I just want you to briefly describe what your role is and how you interact with the Democratic Governors Association.
Well, a lot of my role is being a senior advisor to both our incumbent governors and folks who are candidates for governor who are running their races right now. So I worked on the Virginia governor's race in 2017, and it's already time for that again. So that's kind of fun for me. But another part of it is talking to people like you, Adam, about how important Democratic governors are and why we should elect more of them. They're really working to get stuff done for people all across the country.
I want to talk to you about the Virginia and New Jersey races in just one second, but can you explain to me the importance of having strong Democratic governors as leaders, especially at a time when the current admin seems to be directly targeting governors in certain blue states?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of chaos and dysfunction coming out of Washington, and especially this Republican budget, I think, is a great example of the contrast here. Democratic governors all across the country were unanimous about raising the red flag about how this was going to hurt people in their states, that it was a bad idea to do. And in contrast, Republican governors stayed silent on this. And I think it's just a contrast of, or showing right now, the importance of who your governor is. We need leaders who are going to stand up and fight for people in their states. And in Virginia in particular, we're already seeing this with the DOGE layoffs. A lot of people in Virginia work federal jobs. And Winsome Sears, who's a Republican candidate, has said, like, don't fret. Don't worry about losing your job. It's not a big deal. People lose their jobs every day. I think that's a really tough pill for people to swallow. But just goes to show again that I think Democratic governors are really the people who are the backstop against a lot of the onslaught of stuff we're seeing come out of Washington that's truly unfortunate and at the end of the day hurting people.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation because right now the Democratic Party is obviously looking for new leaders or new faces who can emerge to the top. That generally happens after a party takes a loss. And while we do see a lot of figures in the House of Representatives becoming faces, the governors are really stepping up. Obviously, Governor Newsom is doing a great job. I'm recording this from Illinois, so I love Governor Pritzker. But can you explain a little bit more about the Virginia race? Let's talk about that really quickly. What are the stakes there?
I mean, the stakes are pretty high. First of all, it's our biggest opportunity to do a flip from red to blue. So if people are looking for a place to channel their energy after a presidential election, Virginia and New Jersey are both great places to do that and to send a message ahead of the midterms about how our party's going on offense. And I think, again, Republicans are showing all of the time that they're extreme, they're out of step and out of touch with what people care about. I think this Republican budget, again, really shows that off. They're kicking people off of their health care. They're not working to live up to Trump's day one promise, which was to lower costs. And the Republican nominee, Winsome Sears, again, is deeply insensitive to people being laid off in Virginia. It's already had an impact on the economy, has said nothing about the Medicaid cuts, said there's something or there's some great things in this budget for people. Over 350,000 folks, I think, are at risk of losing their health care through these cuts. And rural hospitals are already starting to raise the alarm about how this could impact people. So there's a real domino effect here at play. And I think that's a real contrast, again, to Abigail Spanberger, who is our nominee, was a really bipartisan member of Congress, got a lot done on things like lowering prescription drug costs, has a background in federal law enforcement. So she definitely wants to keep people safe. And I think, again, is a real contrast to Winsome Sears, who is also really extreme on issues as basic as whether you should have your access to contraception guaranteed. I think that's a pretty simple thing we can all agree on, but she took a vote on the floor of the Senate as lieutenant governor against that. And so I think she's on the record in a really extreme way and just shows she's out of step with people. So the Virginia governor's race, I think, is a really big opportunity for us as a party to just send a message that we're on offense and to make history and elect a woman governor in Virginia.
Yeah. And this morning when I was cooking up some questions or frameworks for this conversation, I really began to realize how damn important governors are because they hold the line in multiple different ways, not only in setting a top-down agenda for their state. So in Virginia, making sure that the governor is explaining the DOGE layoffs in a responsible way. So in a top-down way, basically making sure the people in their state are aware, but also holding the line when the federal government wants to overreach. We know that Trump sent the National Guard into California without even alerting Governor Newsom at all. So there really is, it's incredibly important to have strong Democratic governors, like-minded governors holding the line against the admin. Let's go over to New Jersey really quickly. What are the stakes over there?
I mean, we are really excited about Mikey Sherrill, who's our nominee there. And just like Abigail Spanberger is a really bipartisan member of Congress, she's won tough races, and she's running against Jack Cittarelli, who's a two-time loser, and I think she's going to make him a three-time loser. He has done a total 180 from the person he was when he ran last time around. is now fully on board with everything Trump has to say, has said he can't find a single thing to disagree with him on. I think that's really crazy when we're talking, again, about hundreds of thousands of people in New Jersey having their health care put at risk by this Republican budget. He's really extreme on issues, fundamental freedoms we care about, too, has talked about putting more judges who are anti-choice on the courts in New Jersey. I think that would be a real 180 from where people in New Jersey are. And I think what we're hearing in both those places is that people want you to focus on lowering their costs. They want you to focus on energy, housing, all of the things that are keeping them up at night. And both of these Republican candidates are deeply out of touch, both on fundamental freedoms, but also on the issues that we're seeing touch people in their day-to-day lives. And so I think the stakes are pretty high. And I think, again, have another opportunity with Mikey Sherrill to make some history, too. It would be the first time in 60 years, I think, that we elect a Democratic governor for three consecutive terms in New Jersey. So, again, if people are looking for some place to channel their energy before the midterms, we have these two key statewide races, the first of the second term of the Trump administration, that can send a real message about where we are as a party.
And sending a message via governors is one of the most powerful ways to do it when you have an executive branch overreaching. Thank you so much for your time, Ophira.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, let's do this again and keep doing amazing work. Absolutely amazing interview. And just to continue talking about this story, Texas House Republicans unveil a new congressional map that looks to pick up five GOP seats. Texas lawmakers released their first draft map of the state's new congressional map. And now Governor Kathy Hochul of New York is coming out saying, listen, we'll do the same thing. We will punch back in the same exact way. The map was immediately panned as racist and illegal by Democrats. This is the Texas map because it is racist. Who have been raising the alarm about the prospect of voters of color being diluted or not having a voice. The proposed map splits voters of color in Tarrant County among multiple neighboring Republican districts and changes the shape of the 35th district in Central Texas. So they're literally creating an environment where districts with minorities are being split among the middle. Split among the middle perfectly, so the minority vote is then diluted into Republican districts. It is sick. Representative Greg Kassar, who represents the 35th district that runs from his hometown of Austin to San Antonio, slammed the map as an insult to Texas voters. Quote, if Trump is allowed to rip the Voting Rights Act to shreds here in Central Texas, his ploy will spread like wildfire across the country, Kassar said in a statement. Everyone who cares about our democracy must mobilize against this illegal map. Under the proposed maps, Trump would have won three more districts in 2024, and they're doing this in the middle of the cycle. The traditional racial politics of redistricting have been scrambled somewhat by Republicans' increasing reliance on Hispanic voters, but that's very quickly going away. I'm going to leave it there, but if you appreciated this video and the message that we're pushing, make sure you're sharing the videos and dropping a like. Drop some blue hearts, and I'll see you all in the next one. Peace out.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.